Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it, made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost. She said I'm going too fast, I'm exhausted. Now drop to your knees for the offering. This the theme song, or something wrong. Might need an intervention for this new dimension. That's too new to mention, won't fit in a sentence. If I get locked up, I won't finish the sentence.
Big weekend of sports around the country, but also in Memphis. You got the Tigers playing at Central Florida. You've got the NBA All-Star Game. You've got the Alliance of American Football debut inside Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium. You might enjoy some of this, if not all of this, while having a drink. And if you're going to have a drink, drink what I drink. New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, five times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered three times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it, Brad Carson?
So smooth you can drink it watching the AAF this weekend. You can drink it straight.
It's so smooth you can drink it straight. That's true. Every bit of that is true. It's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. And with the help of you guys, we have turned Memphis into the number one market for New Amsterdam vodka per capita in the United States of America. It's one of my favorite accomplishments. Yeah. I'm not trying to pretend I have a lot of accomplishments.
Yeah, you do.
Of the ones that I have. I'm trying to be humble, Brad. Allow me to be humble. Every once in a while,
you're breaking character, Gary.
Talking about me on Twitter. I see somebody talking about Twitter, and they say, you know, Parrish thinks he's the smartest this and this and that. And so I said, you know what? Maybe I'll try to be humble. Mm. So in these moments where I'm trying to be humble, where I'm pointing out, you know, right. I'm being a little self-deprecating, I'm like, you know, I don't have a lot of accomplishments, but one of them is turning Memphis into the number one market in the country for New Amsterdam vodka per capita. Just allow me to be humble.
Okay, I will.
You don't have to try to pump me up. I'll pump myself up in other times. But right now, it was a moment of humility.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have that many accomplishments. I mean, I do,
yeah.
If we're being honest. I have lots of accomplishments, but like...
Stay humble. I'll let you keep on the humble train.
For the purposes of what I'm doing right now, I don't have that many accomplishments. But one of them is turning Memphis into the number one market per capita for New Amsterdam vodka in the United States of America. And so, very proud of that. You guys keep buying New Amsterdam vodka. They sell it by the case if you ask for it by the case. They got flavored vodkas as well, apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. They've got grapefruit. That's the newest flavor. Buy one. Buy them all. Just make sure. Next time you're in a liquor store or a restaurant or a bar, you ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out. It's on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So I decided we just spend this entire segment on college basketball because it's a fun college basketball weekend ahead of us. And given that, I'm going to break from the humble thing for a second, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Given that I am the host of the most listened to college basketball podcast in the world, it'd be stupid for me not to spend a part of a radio show discussing college basketball heading into a college basketball weekend. So let's start with Memphis at Central Florida. It's a 5 o'clock Central tip. It's going to be on ESPN2, CFE Arena in Orlando, Florida. Memphis comes in 15-10 overall, 7-5 in the American. UCF 18-5 overall, 8-3 in the American. Right now, Central Florida is projected to make the NCAA tournament, according to Jerry Palm and any other respectable bracketologist. And I was on with Jason and John earlier today, and Jason said, you know, do they look like an NCAA tournament team to you? Because I don't know that I see an NCAA tournament team. And I see exactly what Jason's seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, I got eyes just like he's got eyes. But the truth is, and this will be highlighted again when we talk about Mississippi State, Arkansas,
yeah.
some other teams going forward. Central Florida might not look like a good basketball team at times, but you have to put 68 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
It's a 68-team tournament, and you have to put 68 teams in it. You can't just like draw the line somewhere else and say, you know what, we'll put good teams in and everybody else gets left out. It's like you put good teams, and this is true every season, but it seems especially true this season. Mediocre teams make the NCAA tournament. I always tell any fan base that's disgruntled because they were on the wrong side of the bubble on Selection Sunday. If you were good, you'd be in.
Mm-hmm.
If you get left out of the NCAA tournament, you're not good. You just really lost a whole bunch of games you shouldn't have lost, or you didn't win the types of games you need to win. And I'm a little more sympathetic to the mid-majors and the low-majors as it relates to that conversation because sometimes there can be good mid-major, like Wofford right now is a very good mid-major slash low-major basketball team. And I'm not sure Wofford can get an at-large bid simply because it doesn't play the schedule that allows you to get the types of wins you need to get an at-large bid. But there's no doubt in my mind Wofford is good enough to be in the NCAA tournament, but they might not have the resume to put them in the NCAA tournament if they don't win their conference's automatic bid. So I could be sympathetic to that. But if you're in a top seven league in America, so that's the Power Five, plus the Big East, plus the American Athletic Conference, if you're good enough to be in, you will get in. You'll have the opportunities in front of you, and you just have to take advantage of them. And, you know, in Central Florida hasn't taken advantage of every opportunity, but they're still good enough to probably be in the NCAA tournament. Like, I'm looking at the first four right now in Jerry Palm's latest bracket. It was updated at 5:35 this morning. You know, Oklahoma's in. They're just totally average. Clemson's in. Totally average.
Right.
And UCF in, probably also totally average. But I'll tell you this, when Jerry updates this bracketology on Sunday morning, if the Tigers are able to go to Orlando and beat Central Florida will no longer be in his bracket. Memphis, of course, won the first game by 20 points. That was the last Sunday in January. And it remains the not only best win of the Penny Hardaway era, but also the most impressive performance. And yes, those two things can be different. It remains the most impressive performance and the best win of the Penny Hardaway era, but it can be one-upped this weekend if they are able to go to Orlando and beat that same Central Florida team that is top 50 at KenPom, that was projected in the preseason to win the league, that is still projected to make the NCAA tournament. You go beat them on the road, now you've got the best win of your season. And no, it doesn't mean that Memphis would replace Central Florida in Jerry Palm's bracket, but it does mean that Memphis would be one step closer to finishing better than it was supposed to finish in the AAC. And given that this is the first year of the Penny Hardaway era, the year before the big-time recruits land on campus, you know, little goals are reasonable goals, and that would be a reasonable goal that you are moving toward actually achieving. You think the Tigers win in Central in Orlando at Central Florida tomorrow, Cowboy Carson?
I actually think the Tigers will have a chance to win tomorrow, so I'm going to go with, yeah, I'll be optimistic, yes.
That's so unlike you to be optimistic.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I you know me, Mr. Optimist, but I think clearly they had their number, and I think it was Jason who said it's up to UCF to adjust. Now, granted, the road game thing is very tough. They'll actually have fans, presumably more than East Carolina. We know Memphis somehow, it doesn't matter if there's 10 fans or 1,000 fans or 10,000 fans when they're on the road, they seem to suck against poor or good teams. So it's probably the wrong prediction, but I'm going to be optimistic and say Memphis will win.
I agree with all that. It is probably the wrong prediction.
Yes.
But you certainly give them a chance because they've already beaten the team by 20. And I know that that game was played inside FedEx Forum as opposed to at Central Florida. But Memphis really did have Central Florida scouted well.
Yeah.
And whether it was John or Jason who said that, they're exactly right. Like, Central Florida is going to have to adjust to what Memphis did to them in that first game. All that said, Memphis hasn't beaten anybody close to the caliber of this Central Florida team on the road this season. They have beaten this Central Florida team this season, but on the road, the only two wins they have in true road games are at East Carolina and at Tulane. And East Carolina stinks, and Tulane stinks. Central Florida might not be as good as it was supposed to be, but it's still a NCAA tournament caliber team. So it will take a big effort for Memphis to win down in Orlando. But I will tell you, and this is all I really wanted out of this first season, keep me interested.
Yeah.
You know, this time last season, there was nothing to be interested in other than, is Memphis going to be bad enough to where it puts the administration in a position where it becomes undeniable to them that they have to make a coaching change.
Right.
You couldn't really get interested in the games from a, you know, from the same type of perspective you're normally interested in games, because the team was just, it was bad and boring, and there was no hope that anything was going to get better either last season or the season going forward unless you made a coaching change. This is still an interesting season. It's a fun basketball team that's won two straight games, and it's, I don't know about getting better as the season goes on, but has gotten better from game one to what will on Saturday be game 26. So you've got all of that, plus Jeremiah Martin operating at an extremely high level, averaging more than 25 points per game in the past four games. So again, tip off 5 o'clock Central tomorrow on ESPN2. And even though I will be in New York and not at home among other Memphians, with the ability to watch the game among other Memphis fans, that's one that I'll be watching. Sure, there are bigger games in college basketball this weekend, but I do think from a Memphis perspective, that's an interesting basketball game. I'm looking forward to it.
Story number two.
The biggest game in college basketball this weekend, and I think you could reasonably argue outside of the All-Star game, and really if you take the All-Star game and acknowledge it's just a game with a bunch of great basketball players that doesn't really mean anything, the biggest sporting event in America this weekend is going to be number one Tennessee at number five Kentucky. Tip-off is 7 o'clock Central inside Rupp Arena. You'll be able to watch that one on ESPN. And so Tennessee, and this is it's not unprecedented. It's actually not even that rare, but it is somewhat rare. The number one team in the country is going to be an underdog. So, like, tomorrow night, if Kentucky wins, anytime you turn on a television and you hear somebody say, or go to a webpage and you see somebody type, Kentucky upsets Tennessee, just know that that person's not smart. Kentucky beating Tennessee tomorrow night will not be an upset. Kentucky's going to be favored in the game because of home court advantage and because the computer numbers between Tennessee and Kentucky aren't nearly as different as the record between Tennessee and Kentucky. And I know Kentucky's coming off of a loss to LSU, but that doesn't change you know, the bottom line, which is Tennessee's going to be an underdog for the first time in a long time tomorrow night inside Rupp Arena. And it's an interesting game for Tennessee because they're obviously fabulous. 23-1 overall, 20 double-digit wins. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
They've won 23 games. 20 of those games they've won by double digits. They're 11-0 in the SEC. 9 of those games they've won by double digits. And the average margin of victory for Tennessee in SEC games is 16.6 points. So some people leading up to this have pointed out, and it's true, that Tennessee has not played a currently ranked team, ranked in the AP poll, since it beat Gonzaga on December 9th, more than 2 months ago. And that is true. And some people have suggested that's the reason Tennessee doesn't deserve to be number one when Duke and some other schools, but mostly Duke, has just stacked one big win on top of another on top of another. You know, whether it's a home win over Virginia, a road win over Virginia, a road win over Louisville, it's undeniable that Duke has better wins than Tennessee. But sort of the point I've made is that I'm not going to punish Tennessee because of the schedule the SEC gave them. It's not their fault.
Right.
You know, Tennessee went out and scheduled aggressively in the non-league. They played Louisville on a neutral court. They played Kansas on a neutral court, and that's the only loss. A neutral court loss to Kansas at full strength in overtime. So Tennessee remains, at this moment, the only team in the country that hasn't lost a game in regulation this season. They played Gonzaga on a neutral court. They went to Memphis and played. And I know Memphis isn't great, but that's still a test.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee goes to Memphis and wins by double digits, controlled the game from start to finish. And, you know, if you'll acknowledge Central Florida is an NCAA tournament team, That's the same building against the same team that an NCAA tournament team lost by 20. Tennessee won by 10. So they tested themselves in the non-league. And then they played the schedule that the SEC has given them to date. I'm not going to make them apologize for the SEC not giving them Kentucky earlier or not giving them Mississippi State earlier or not giving them at Ole Miss earlier. If you're somebody who thinks Tennessee is undeserving of its ranking or fraudulent in some way, well, you'll find out soon enough. Maybe you'll be proven right because they go at Kentucky, then home against Vanderbilt, then at LSU, then at Ole Miss. I mean, three of the next four are road games against teams that either are ranked right now or were ranked at one point this season. Three of the next four are against top 40 KenPom teams on the road. Three of the next four are against teams on the road that are projected to make the NCAA tournament. So whatever test you want Tennessee to pass, they're about to have to take that test, starting in Rupp Arena. But I just bottom line it this way. Until Tennessee loses, Tennessee is going to be ranked number one in the CBS Sports Top 25 and one. And I imagine the AP poll and the coaches poll as well. Now, some of that, the debate will be alleviated tomorrow night one way or another because either Tennessee will lose at Kentucky and then people will go, okay, drop them, put Duke number one or Gonzaga number one. Or Tennessee will win at Kentucky and then it'll be like, okay, well, now they got to win over Gonzaga. They've got to win over Louisville. They've got a road win over Kentucky. Maybe that really is the best team in the country. But I will say, whether it's the best team in the country or not, it is the most fascinating team in the country because it is built, and Dan Wolken mentioned this earlier, in such an unusual way. It's funny, like leading up to this game, there's been a whole lot of words written about Tennessee and Kentucky. And in every story I've read, people are making note as if it's breaking news that Tennessee is ranked number one in the country without a single top 100 high school recruit on his roster. That's something we've been talking about literally for a year. When it became clear last season around this time that Tennessee was legitimately good and maybe going to win an SEC regular season title. It's nice to see everybody else like catching on that this Tennessee team is built in an incredibly unusual and unique way. But it's one of the more fascinating stories, if not the most fascinating story in the country related to college basketball, that Rick Barnes has built the team out of what he built this team out of. And so we'll see if they can go on the road tomorrow night and knock out a Kentucky team that, despite what happened earlier this week against LSU, has been playing just about as well, if not as well, as anybody in the country. Tip off 7 o'clock inside Rupp Arena. You can watch that one on ESPN.
Story number three.
Ole Miss is back inside the pavilion down in Oxford tomorrow. The opponent is going to be Missouri, a Missouri team that frankly, it's just not very good. They're 12-11 overall, 3-8 in the SEC. They, of course, lost their best player, Jonte Porter, to an injury in the preseason. So two straight years, Konzo Martin at Missouri has lost his best player for basically the entire year. Last year it was Michael Porter Jr. This year it's Michael Porter's younger brother, Jonte Porter. But for Ole Miss, at this point, really all they have to do to make the NCAA tournament is avoid bad losses. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to go out and do anything, win big games anymore. You've got enough of those. You've beaten Baylor. You've beaten Auburn. You've beaten Mississippi State on the road. You beat Auburn again on the road earlier this week. They have enough good wins now. They just need to avoid bad or questionable losses. And Kermit Davis, remarkably, after Ole Miss was picked last in the preseason SEC poll, is going to have Ole Miss in the NCAA tournament. And so, big game tomorrow, if only because, and we've talked about this for years, it's very simple, but it doesn't make it any less true. There are only two outcomes to a basketball game, a win and a loss. The only alternative to a win is a loss. So sometimes people look at games and they go, that win wouldn't really help them. That's true, but a loss would hurt them. Right. A loss would hurt them bad. And it wouldn't knock them out of the projected field of 68, but it would, I think they're an 8 seed right now, according to Jerry Palm, it would knock them significantly lower than that and push them toward the bubble. So big game down in Oxford tomorrow. I would expect Ole Miss wins probably by, 8, 9, 10, 11 points.
Story number four.
And then another big game in the SEC between two, I don't know about likely NCAA tournament teams, but two teams that are projected to make the NCAA tournament right now. Mississippi State is at Arkansas. And this is sort of hammers home the point I was making earlier about you have to put 68 teams in the tournament. Mississippi State is in right now.
Yeah,
they're safer than Arkansas is. But Arkansas is in Jerry Palm's bracket right now as well. So we got a game tomorrow in Fayetteville between two teams that are projected to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Both of them 5-6 in the SEC.
Yeah, and Mississippi State is a weird team. It's like they have not, from what I expected them to do with their roster, they've had some really questionable games, especially at home. Like the LSU loss at home. I mean, of course, LSU's good, but like big games, Kentucky, they lost that game. They always figure out a way to lose games, Gary.
Well, I think Mississippi State fans right now are disappointed.
Yes.
Not in the, maybe in the Ben Hallen era, but not necessarily in big picture, but disappointed in this season. Like,
yes.
Your preseason top 25, and now you're 5-6 in the SEC.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like the football team, honestly.
Arkansas fans. I mean, I got a tweet this morning from somebody like, you know, what do you think about Mike Anderson being on the hot seat? And I have friends who are Arkansas fans. I go on radio in Arkansas from time to time. I know that they are frustrated also with Arkansas basketball. And yet Mississippi State and Arkansas both are probably going to be in the NCAA tournament. Arkansas needs this one tomorrow more than Mississippi State because they are closer to the bubble than Mississippi State and because they're at home. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get punished by the selection committee for losing home games to quality teams. I mean, you're not going to get punished for losing road games to quality teams. But you need to win your games at home against comparable competition, and that's why Arkansas needs to knock this thing out tomorrow against Mississippi State to ensure that when they wake up on Sunday, they are still projected to make the NCAA tournament according to Jerry Palm and anybody else. KenPom has a projected score of Mississippi State 75, Arkansas 73, so we're basically in a coin flip situation. But it's a big game for the Hogs. We'll see if they can knock that out inside Bud Walton Arena. A tip-off scheduled for 7:30 Central. You can watch it on the SEC Network. Jeff Calkins is up next.